We've never been unsure or unsatisfied. It's always been contentment that what we're doing is for the community and for Nolan and for the children.
The families.
The families.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. And we believe that there are three components to having true wealth. Number one, living with purpose. Number two, having impact on other people. And number three, leaving a legacy. And really at the heart of this show and at the heart of our company, that is the type of life that we are trying to inspire. If you want more information, you can give us a call at 320-222-4236 or visit us online at taegisfinancial.com. Well, thanks so much for checking us out today. We call this podcast Repurpose because the founder of our company, Ben Taegis, wrote a book by the same name, Repurposed. It's endorsed by Dave Ramsey, really, and it's all about defining and redefining your purpose once you retire. Just because you turn 65 and you have left your job and retired, that doesn't mean that your sense of purpose goes away. We are called, especially as believers, to have purpose all the way through the end. If you want the first two chapters of Repurpose, go to our website, taegisfinancial.com. Click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with two ladies by the name of Sally Graves and Jill Fellows. Now, Sally and Jill founded a place called Nolan's Place. It's a therapy center based in Wilmer, Minnesota, that offers behavioral treatment for children with autism. Now, Nolan's Place, in and of itself, is really an incredible place. They do wonderful work, but how Nolan's Place came to fruition, I feel, is what makes this story so special. After Sally's son, Nolan, was diagnosed with autism in 2017, it became pretty clear to her and her family that West Central Minnesota just didn't have a place for children with autism to receive the care that they need. So on a whim and a prayer, Sally and Jill, who at this point in their careers really didn't even know each other that well, joined forces. They quit their jobs to create a facility of their own. In this podcast, you're going to hear how Sally and Jill dealt with the fear of following a calling that they feel was from God and to follow a purpose that seemed really risky to many people. Here's my conversation with Sally Graves and Jill Fellows of Nolan's Place. All right, I'm so excited. I've got Jill Fellows and Sally Graves in the studio here today. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, you have got a really interesting story. I'm excited to share your story with our listeners. And you've got this place called Nolan's Place, right? Sally, why don't you just start off by telling us, what is Nolan's Place?
Nolan's Place is a ABA therapy center where we offer intensive ABA therapy, which is applied behavioral analysis.
We work on things like social skills, everyday adaptive behavior. It could be self-help skills. It could be following directions. It could be potty training. A lot of them are struggling with potty training. We incorporate family skills into it so parents can come in once or twice a month to see how their child is progressing and learning.
And this is specifically for people, kids with autism.
Yes. Correct. Yep. Okay. Every child has an autism diagnosis.
Gotcha.
And our kids are there full time, or a couple are part time, but for the most part, it's a full time program. So they're there from 8 to 4 every day.
It's kind of like essentially school.
It is a little bit like school. Okay. It is medical based and therapy based. So we aren't working on academics, but we're working on just kind of a lot of the life skills that are needed, transitioning to different activities. Communication is a huge one. Most of our children are nonverbal, so they have some type of augmentative communication, whether it's a Dynavox, an iPad. A Dynavox is essentially an iPad that you can click on and it'll speak for you.
Yeah. Talk about just autism in general. You know, for example, something we hear a lot about. I really don't understand it. I would have to assume a lot of our listeners don't fully understand it. Just talk about what exactly is it?
So it's a spectrum disorder.
Yeah, what does that mean? Because I hear that all the time. There's a spectrum thing. What does that mean?
So it could be something as simple as they have difficulty with social skills. Okay. And that is maybe their only difficulty that they have. And then on the more severe end of the spectrum, it can be, they could be nonverbal. They could have severe behaviors that parents, you know, it's hard to even go out in the community because they don't have that adaptive behavior.
Right.
under control.
Right. And when we look at like your neurotypical children who you don't see those kind of issues with, like even getting dressed in the morning, when you look at a normal 3-year-old or 4-year-old or neurotypical child, you can hand them their clothes and they get dressed and they go to school and it's no big deal of transitioning. Where with Nolan, one of his programs he is working on at Nolan's Place is being able to get dressed from the shirt, the pants, and right. the shoes in under 10 minutes. Mm. And for most other people, they're like, oh yeah, my kid just does that. Or right. they go and pick out their outfit. Yeah. But for someone that isn't neurotypical, that is a struggle for them.
Sure.
And so those are things that we focus on at Nolan's Place, along with other
sure.
adaptive things
so
that we do.
You're based in Wilmer. How many kids do you have in your program?
Currently, we have 6.
Okay.
2 of our kids are going off. One is going to kindergarten and one is going to preschool. And we're going to be starting another one in September.
Is that the ultimate goal, is to kind of get them to a point where they're a little more, I don't want to say functional, but can kind of handle a little
right.
bit more?
Right. Functional okay. is a good term.
Okay.
That would be our goal. So we, ABA therapy centers in general, can serve a wide variety of ages, and we focus on ages roughly 3 to 7.
Okay.
That kind of preschool age. And our goal is to integrate them back into the school system. We are saying by kindergarten or first grade, it's different for every kid.
Sure.
Some kids are in the program for 2 to 3 years is kind of what a typical length would be. So it yeah. depends when you start the program.
Can a child with autism, you know, you said a lot of them are nonverbal and they struggle with that. Is that something they can work through, or is it just kind of always one of those issues?
Yes, it's definitely something they can work
okay.
through. We are really excited right now. One of our kids is, don't want to use the term becoming verbal, but he's
yeah.
pre-verbal.
He's pre-verbal. That's a good a good way to put it. So he's said a few words, and he is 4. He just turned 4.
Okay.
And it's just very exciting to see kind of some of those requests coming through.
Absolutely.
And celebrate those victories with him and his family. But to answer your question, it's an unknown.
Right.
I mean, there's no real way to tell if a child who is nonverbal will become verbal.
Yeah.
So the focus is on using their augmentative device and or pictures to help them communicate and make requests in there.
And I guess that's kind of what I've seen from an outsider's perspective on autism, is that it's just kind of this mysterious thing.
Yes.
Which,
right.
Yeah, it's probably not a fair statement, but that's probably kind of how you say it, right?
Right.
Yes.
And,
okay.
and it being, you know, on a spectrum, it's kind of,
it's
there's
such a
so
wide
many
range.
Different factors, and
yeah.
there's a wide range, and no one really
okay.
knows what the answer is.
So Nolan's Place is named after your son, Sally, and you've got 2 sons, Nolan and Max, correct?
Yep.
So rewind us a couple of years. So you've got these 2 boys.
Yes.
And at this point, neither one of them had been diagnosed with autism, but they had some, what's the word?
So I would say, like with Nolan, he was born and he was progressing through the stages of development well. No one seemed to be too concerned. He did have some language delay. And I would bring it up to all the providers, and they would say, he's fine. He's just slowly progressing through. He'll be okay. And when we got to about the age of 2.5, 3, I was pregnant with Max and was able to be with Max more. And Nolan was be in school. And it felt like Nolan was slipping into a fog where he just wasn't responding as much to us. And he wasn't verbal anymore. He used to be able to say a few words, and then he slowly was in a regression mode, and which is kind of typical for an autism child.
Was that even on your radar at that point?
I think always in my gut it
okay.
was. Yeah, I always felt like it was.
And so the way that the story goes is that then you bring in Jill to come in and help out with your 2 children. Get us to that point.
Yes. So Jill was working with the school district as an occupational therapist, and she would come service our home once or twice a month for these delays that my children were already diagnosed with. And then that's how Jill came into our home, and we were able to meet and get to know each other.
So Jill, you were working with Max and Nolan through this time. How would you describe them? Was this on your radar as well, or how did you feel? This was your line of work at that time, correct?
Yes, I was an occupational therapist, and I was only seeing them a couple times a month. Nolan more, because he was in the school.
Sure.
You know, I don't really recall if autism was on my radar, to be honest with you. I knew that it was a concern of Sally's, so in that regard, it was on my radar. You know, I don't diagnose or do any
sure.
of that, so I guess I probably wasn't really trying to figure out if he had autism or not. but definitely was concerned for his overall development because sure. There was a regression in his speech, and then some delays. And
so we got to a point where you actually went to the Twin Cities and had him tested for autism. Is that how that works?
Yep. So I did a self referral to the University of Minnesota because I wanted to see if there was something, and if there wasn't, maybe just the autism diagnosis, but what other diagnosis could he have had? Like, is it the language disorder? Is it global developmental delay? Some sensory issues? What is, wrong with him, or what would be the diagnosis? And in October of 2017 is when they diagnosed Nolan with autism disorder. And then...
What was that like?
It was just very overwhelming, breathtaking, It was a lot to take in because you see the hopes and dreams of your child in a different form.
Right.
And it's not different or anything that is not good that you see, but it's a different dream that you have.
This changes the game.
It changes life.
Because really up until this point, it's like... You've got two kids and one of them, and they're kind of struggling along,
right.
But they're still on the path, and then they get a diagnosis like this, and that kind of now ups the ante, so to speak, right?
And you as a parent, you just want your kid to be happy and succeed and to not have challenges, right. And to be able to see now that he is going to have challenges and going to need some more support. It's always heartbreaking.
Sure.
So.
And this changes the game because now you need to get some specialized treatment and care, correct?
Right. So the day after I got the diagnosis in October, I called every single autism center in the metro because right now, or in October 2017, the nearest autism center was in Minnetonka, which is 90 miles away from Wilmer. And so they said it's going to be a year wait, and so fill out all the paperwork. And we'll call you when you get closer. And I was telling Jill that at our next meeting when she came into the home to give service to Max. And she was like, you can't do that. You cannot move you and Nolan to the cities and your son Max and Ron would stay here. Like, that's going to break up your family and it's not good. We need to bring the services here to Wilmer. There is a need. And we can do this.
And we kind of laughed before we started recording. You said you didn't really know. It's not like you know Sally that much and you're kind of telling her how to run her life. Talk about
that. I was just going to say. So I'd been in their home once a month. That's not enough to really form a friendship or any real anything like that.
So once a month for about what, a year and a half?
A year. Okay, about a year.
Okay. So you've met a dozen times.
Right.
and now she's bossing me around.
Yep. I'm going to tell her what she can do with her family and what decisions
she
can make.
Why did you feel so strongly about it?
Once she told me that it was a year-long wait, I had no idea. I did not know. I knew about ABA. I knew what the program could do, but I did not realize that all these programs in the cities were a year-long out. And once she said that, I just got to thinking about other kids that I knew that I worked with in the schools. And I'd worked in a handful of schools in the Wilmer area. And
sure. So
I started thinking about specific kids, and I'm like, what about this kid? And what about this kid? And
is that what other families were doing around here that had children that had autism? They're basically traveling to the cities. And there's just nothing there.
There was nothing. And so their choices are, I guess if they could financially swing it, they were probably doing that.
Sure.
But nobody that I knew.
Gotcha.
My heart kind of broke. I really didn't know them that well. I really wasn't very invested in them personally at that point.
Right.
But I just thought this cannot be the end game for all these kids that and families that are struggling with this in the area. So I went home and researched it and figured out what does it take to run an autism center? What is happening? How do they run? I had no idea. Came back the next month and, hey, Sally, how's it going? She's on a few more wait lists. They're all a year. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure that we're going to start something here.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
How did you respond to that?
I thought she was crazy, but I never felt more relief to feel that I had someone on my team and someone that was right there and willing to help me and go through the motions with me. And I still remember I went back to where I work as a nurse, and I was looking up and showing some of my coworkers buildings, and I'm like, so I'm going to start an autism center. And everyone kind of laughed, and they're like, oh, yeah, that will be fun. And I'm like,
they walk away.
Yeah, like, oh, now they think I'm crazy, too. But it just never felt like it was not an option.
So
I had a lot of faith in Jill and the process.
So did you, like, get together and start building business plans, or how did it work?
We texted a lot about it and talked a lot about it. I think we both kind of went our own ways, but we explored on our own a little bit. We actually talked to a couple different autism centers about them coming here and us running it first. Mm. No one was interested.
Right.
To this day, don't know why, but none of them. But I just think that was all part of God's plan, that everybody kind of shut us down and whatever. And so we said, I think this is something that we have to do. I actually sat down with the Small Business Development Center out of Marshall, and she kind of took me through some of the options and why it would be okay to do it on her own. And then after we had that peace of mind, I think it was January 12th, we sat down, 2018, and formed a LLC name. And
this is only 4 months after Nolan was diagnosed.
Yes.
Yeah. So that moved pretty fast.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. It moved fast, and then it continued to move fast. When we reached out to the state of Minnesota, they said, well, yeah, nobody actually starts their company within a year, so just make sure you have that time frame. And I thought, no, I need it sooner. Like, we need services. Nolan is going to be 5 in June, and I need these services now. And so Jill and I just worked diligently. Jill is amazing at paperwork. They said nobody ever gets their paperwork in on the first try and passes, and then Jill did it. So
I mean, I took it as kind of a challenge. I remember talking to the lady on the phone. She's like, no one's ever done it.
Well,
and I told her, well, I'm going to do it, because why would I want to do it twice?
Sure. Yeah. And once we got our paperwork in, then it was, okay, well, yeah, that's great. But now in order to get a site visit, it's like 6 months out. So just, you know, continue to wait. Hmm. And they called us the week later.
Wow.
And we're like, hey, we're ready to come next week for your site visit. And we passed on the first time for the Minnesota Department of Health to come and pass our site visit.
So you actually opened in June of 2018. So if I'm doing the math right here, 9 months after the diagnosis.
Right.
Right.
Let's see here. The 6 months after you get a business plan together, you open up.
Yep.
That's pretty incredible.
Yes. And it has literally been, I think, our quote for our business, you know, for our personal lives is, for I know the plans for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we truly believe that has been, you know, all in God's faith. Yeah.
So I think a lot of people listening to this podcast, and you've made a jump and you've made a leap. You know, walk us through that period where you're kind of in the valley of decision. It sounded like it was pretty much made up. You knew right away, but so many people struggle with this idea of changing paths, taking a leap of faith. You know, what made it such an easy decision? How do you kind of articulate that feeling? It's a tough question.
It's a tough question, but we've talked a lot about this and how from the outside world, this could sound like something crazy.
Sure.
So you're just going to start an autism center. Neither of you have ever been to one. Neither of you have.
And you're not business owners.
We're not business owners.
Because you're trade.
I'm a registered nurse. Yep.
Okay. Yep. And you were an occupational therapist.
Correct.
Quit your job. Start a business.
So,
sounds a little crazy.
So we have a deadline of April 1st to give your resignation for the next school year. And so I remember on like March 30th talking to Sally, like, so we're doing it, right? We're doing it. and so she goes, I guess so. And but we say too, it never felt like it wasn't going to work.
It never felt risky. Like, we always knew, like in our hearts, like we knew it was going
to
happen.
Yeah. Mm. And to explain that, I don't know how to explain that, because that doesn't seem like a logical process to, right. I mean, I loved my job. I had good wage, good benefits, good everything. We were happy. We were living in a different city at that time. And I don't know. It always felt right. And we went from there, I guess.
What do you tell people? What do you tell people that are on, you know, they've got an inkling to want to do something like this? They have a need. What did you do that so many people, including myself in many ways, don't do because they're scared or it doesn't make sense. Because your people called you crazy. They had to have. Whenever people do something big and different and a little risky, you have the quote haters. You had to have had that.
It was kind of more of like a, oh.
It was okay. A slow, oh, like, oh, that's nice. They're going to fail.
So you're quitting your job and you're going to just step into something you have no experience in. And
yeah.
It's just, need, I think if you know that the need is there and you can make a difference, I think that's always what drove it is that there's a huge need. Autism's not going away. And whatever the depending on the business standpoint, it could be a different need or whatever it is. If that need is there and there's the possibility of helping.
And the hope in the community. We just knew that we needed to do something, not only for Nolan, but
for the other families that we're helping.
Sally, I mean, I'm not trying to answer this question for you, but does it help add purpose to Nolan's situation, Nolan's place? I mean, does it help kind of bring it full circle? How do you, I mean, this has got to be so fulfilling in so many ways because you had a diagnosis, which is life altering.
Right.
Disappointing, crushing as a parent. And now it kind of almost comes full circle where now all of a sudden this bad thing has now led into this good thing. Describe that feeling.
Absolutely. Like I go back to the poem of the Welcome to Holland. And it's a poem about that you're traveling to Italy and it's going to be great and wonderful. And you end up in Holland. And Holland's not different. Or Holland's different than Italy, but it's beautiful and it's wonderful and you make what you want of it. And I feel like I got this diagnosis and it wasn't going to end us. It wasn't a game changer. It just is different. And our plan and our hope for Nolan is just different. And we have to make the best of it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and in order to do that, like that's where I'm so thankful and feel so blessed to Jill and to all of the workers that we have that are so great and so wonderful.
Do you think if it wasn't for Jill, would you have done it?
No, absolutely not.
So how do you, that's got to make you feel really good. Like this is kind of, not to hyper-spiritualize it, but like God put this in your path and now here we go.
It's absolutely 100% true. There's no way to describe that. And telling Sally before that too, we didn't really know each other. And then we got to know each other basically from October to December until we decided we were taking this leap. And we had shared similar experiences in struggling to have children. And so I had told Sally when we were going to do it, I'm not doing anything else. We don't have any kids. This is going to be, she goes, this can kind of be your baby. And that changed quickly after that, but I still feel like that's God's plan. And there's a reason that we didn't have children according to our own plan. We had, I would have never also started this business probably if I was pregnant or had an infant. So I think,
which she now has a 10 month old.
Which now I have a 10 month old. So basically a couple of weeks after we formed the LLC, I had to also inform Sally that I was expecting.
Wow.
So that added a whole twist into the first year.
But we wouldn't have done anything without that, without knowing that.
So I just, it's so amazing that, like, that is totally God's plan. Yeah. Like, there's no way to describe that.
And the peace and contentment we've always found in everything. Mm-hmm. We've never been unsure or, unsatisfied. It's always been contentment that what we're doing is for the community and for Nolan and for the children.
The families.
Where do you see this going?
Great question. We get asked that question a lot. We do have a long wait list at Nolan's place. And so we get asked the question of if we're growing or if we're going to expand, I should say. Or we get asked the question of, are we going to have services for high school kids? Are we going to have services for older kids? And all of these are great ideas. Yeah. Love to do it, and I think what it comes down to is we're going wherever God leads us next. I don't think any of this was ever in our control. I think that we both know that it will go somewhere else. But to answer that question, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, sometimes that's the best way to look at it, and it sounds like, this is really, if I had to just kind of summarize this story, it's just a story of faith. And when you have faith and you're just following a lead, And you kind of get in the rhythm of wherever God's leading you, the peace and comes with it, which Absolutely. I've experienced in many ways as well. And that's also where you tend to get the biggest impact. And so that's kind of what I'm seeing with you guys as well. We are out of time. Before I let you guys go, where can people find you online and get more information on Nolan's Place?
We are at nolansplace.com. You'll find information about our program, our wonderful staff, contact information, anything that you need.
Jill Fellows and Sally Graves, thank you so much for joining me today, and God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Sally Graves and Jill Fellows of Nolan's Place. I really think that this story is yet another testimony of how God can use what we would probably consider bad things in our lives and use them for His good and His purposes and His glory, just like what's happening today at Nolan's Place. Sally and Jill, thank you for sharing your story today. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this podcast is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurposed. If you want the first two chapters free, go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. And as usual, a big thanks to The Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there.